This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 22nd, episode 2274. It's September 23rd, by the way. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year. This
is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
And coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine edition, it's all about the listeners. As three brave or foolish, we're not sure, listener auditors join us, hopefully proving Glenn's precept that every horse person has a fascinating story to tell. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, it is the week of the listener here on the Horse Radio Network, and that is because International Podcast Day is 1 week from today. So we are highlighting podcasts all week, and we're hoping that you will do the same. We know we have thousands of listeners from around the world, and we hope that you all take this opportunity this week to do one of a couple of things. Think of this as the NPR, the PBS. You know when they do the fundraising drives, Jamie?
Oh, God, yes.
So to think about how annoying they are. Well, we're going to try and make it less annoying. Going to be sort of like that, only not annoying.
Listen here. Don't turn this off. Stop.
That's right. Don't turn it off.
We're still going to do other stuff, too. If we're not asking for money, we just want you to share our podcast with your friends. Let everybody know you listen to us and come back and don't go anywhere. We're going to have a fun show. Don't turn it off.
That's right. So we want...
It's like you said NPR fundraiser and people are like, click.
So we're not giving away any disc sets of old discs from ancient artists. We're not doing that today.
Well, I could do that. I have a huge collection.
So a couple of things we need your help with this week during this week of the listener, and that is we would love for you to go and rate and review our show. We hardly ever ask for that. The 10 years we've done this, and I think we actually have very few reviews because we'd never ask. But every podcast app, iTunes or whatever podcast app you have has a way for you to rate a podcast. So please go do that. It would really help us out. It helps us out in the rankings. And again, we don't do that very often or even ask for that very often. Facebook also has a way where you can go in and on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page and say nice things about us or give us a 5-star review or 4-star or 1-star, whatever you like. You can do, I assume if you're listening now, you're not going to give us a 1-star. But we would love that. Also, share the love on Facebook. You're going to see there's banners available for you to share the love about our shows. If you go to horsesinthemorning.com, you'll see a banner there that you can share. And then over at Horse Radio Network on Facebook, you'll also find a banners for all the different shows that you can share, including Retired Racehorse Radio. So there's a multitude of ways for you to plug the shows. All I ask is that you link people to horseradionetwork.com in your posts. Put horseradionetwork.com. That way they can go find any show that they want. Also, we have a lot of auditors coming on this week. You hear about us talking about them all the time. Those are people who, this is where the financial part does come in. Those are people who chose to donate a dollar, two, or three, or five, or ten to the Horse Radio Network, half of which we give back to Jamie and the other hosts. She gets a piece of that every single month.
Y'all are just facilitating my equine addiction, so thank you very much.
And we hope to increase that because she wants to buy something new, I'm sure. so you can be, for as little as $3 a month, you too can become an auditor. I figured it out. If you listen to all 20 episodes of this show and no other shows in the Horse Radio Network, it's 15 cents an episode. So we would love you to join. There's an auditor room on Facebook that we do special content for. We do special Facebook Lives in there. They're a lot of fun. So you can join us. Plus, there's a whole bunch of different things that go on in there.
Contests and free stuff. Yep. And this is where we get our first world problems from. So please, if you want to be a part of it, just like if you listen to us and you're like, I think I've been listening to them talk about that for a long time. Just do it. It's really fun.
And that you can find that at horseradionetwork.com. You'll find an auditor banner right there. And then lastly, before we get to Daily Winnies, Stacy Westfall. We're so excited that Stacy Westfall is now taking over one episode a month on the first Tuesday of every month. And you'll know Stacy. She's probably one of the best known horsewomen in the world.
She rode the bridleless horse, Live Like You Were Dying, and she did like a raining pattern to that Tim McGraw song. That's what I know her for. And it was like amazing.
One has
and
like
still
millions
brings me to
of
tears.
Downloads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she also has almost 500,000 followers on Facebook. That'll give you some idea. She does her own podcast, but she's, in addition to that, going to be joining us once a month. And today, this is Monday, the 23rd, as Jamie said earlier. We are doing, if you're listening to this before then, from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time, we're doing a call-in segment where you can call in and talk to Stacy, ask her questions about training
or horses. I have a question. I want to ask her.
Okay, well, call in.
Okay.
All right. It's 435-272-1997. So 435-272-1997. And you can call that between 1 and 2 o'clock Eastern on Monday. All right, that's it. We're going to talk to a bunch of listeners today. We got fellow podcasters coming on. So all of that coming up this week. And then Friday, we have a very special musical episode with Jared Rogerson for you. I might give you a sneak peek at one of his songs today.
Yay.
Well, my Daily Winnie is happy birthday goes out to Chris Kremitzos, who is a good friend of mine in podcasting. We've had him on the show before. He's the one that runs Podfest, which is the second largest podcast conference in the world. And he just called me yesterday to talk about Podfest coming up. But happy birthday to Chris and also auditor Carrie Garvey. And see, become an auditor and you get your name mentioned here on the show for your birthday.
Whoop, whoop. Man, my stomach is just in knots, and I have been a mess all weekend, and I don't know if it's because of what happened this weekend or if it's the fact that Ride Times came out for the Thoroughbred Makeover, and I'm just freaking out. Like, this is so, I'm just really stressed out. But I know that our auditors, especially Erica Harvey, she posted, is anyone else wondering how Jamie Jennings and Baby Groot did at their horse trial this weekend? Are you going to make us wait till this show? Well, yeah.
The answer is always yes.
The answer is always yes, but especially this time, because for the first time ever, Jennifer, is Jennifer here?
Oh,
Wake up, Jennifer.
She might be calling people.
Okay, so I did something for the first time ever at a horse trial this weekend, and that's I scratched.
What?
I scratched. I got all the way out there. I unloaded. I rode around Friday night, and he was just a little bit, he was super fractious. And I've noticed that I found like grooming him when I was getting him ready, his back seems a little touchy. So Friday I rode him and he was pretty wild. I mean, I ended up winning, you know, I ended up making it successful. But Saturday morning, it just starts raining and raining and raining and raining. And they have to put the whole competition on hold because it's lightning and thunder. And they're like, okay, we're going to start back up at 11 a.m. And the place is completely wet. The dressage arena I was going to be in is kind of in a low spot, and the show jumping is on grass. And he doesn't have studs, he doesn't have cleats on, he has nothing besides like front shoes. to help us with traction. And I just started thinking, okay, he seems a little back sore. He was very fractious yesterday, most likely related to the back pain, back soreness. If he is at all not foot perfect, we're going to slip and fall. And I have the makeover in 1 week. And I feel like I should save him for the makeover as opposed to running him at a horse trial. Granted, that's a hard one to swallow, man. That's a hard pill to swallow. That is a lot of money that I just donated to Feather Creek Farm. I know,
that is the problem. It's when you scratch, you don't get your money back.
Yeah, it was just awful.
As a horse husband, by the way, I never understood that. It always drove me nuts.
Oh, well, they've already spent it. You know, I get it.
I know.
I never would ask for that back.
But as a horse husband, you know, it always bothers me.
Yeah, I just wonder. I want to be like, you know what? Next time I'll let you just ride for free. They don't do that. So yeah, I had to eat that money and I had to scratch, but I really felt like I was doing something better for my horse, like more like looking at kind of the big picture. If he had warmed up Friday and been just like super perfect and comfortable and doing his thing, I probably would have kept going. But you know, I go into the show office and I scratch and everybody in there's like, oh, and I'm like, I've got a makeover in a week. I was like, that's a bigger investment than this was. And if I don't make it to that, then I'm going to be in big trouble. You know, so I got to make a good decision for my horse. I got to think about the big picture for my horse and it, God, it hurt. Oh my, I'm still in knots about it. I walk out of the show office and I see my friend Ellen, who is walking back up to the barn. And her horse is covered in mud. Uh-oh. She is covered in mud. She is wet and a whole half of her and half of the horse are soaked. And they slipped and fell in the dang dressage arena.
In the dressage arena.
The dressage arena. And
that's not something you hear very often.
No. And that's not in the rule book. So even though you have a horse fall on cross country, you are eliminated. She got to finish her test. Apparently they made all the rest of the test trot. There was no cantering allowed for the rest of that because of the slick areas. And she ended up winning the dang horse trial on that horse. I was like, what?
I didn't know falling in dressage didn't count for immediate elimination.
Apparently,
because it never happens.
I got to talk to her about it, but yeah, it never happens. So I don't think they knew the ruling on that. I thought the horse fell, you're out. But no, she got back on, finished the test, and ended up winning the whole thing on that horse. But again, he didn't get hurt. You know, he just slipped and fell because the footing was so wet. And I've had horses do that. So that did make me feel a little bit better. But then I went on to see like all the people that competed successfully, and it was just hard. It was hard. A lot of horses were slipping in the warm-up for a stadium, and the stadium was on grass, and we didn't have studs. I just didn't feel prepared for a weather event like that. And with the makeover a week away, I just had to...
Well, you were in good company decision. Because apparently at one of the events over the weekend, Boyd Martin and Caroline Martin both ended up in the hospital from falls.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah. So she broke her collarbone. I'm not sure what Boyd did. So yeah, you were probably wise. You weren't the only ones coming off over the weekend.
I know. It just sucks. It just sucks.
Like, I know. Well, it was your last practice too, before.
Yeah. It's my last go before I really need to school him through water a little bit more.
But you know what? Even if he had fallen and it had all gone well, you were fine. He was fine. Confidence level would have had to deal with that then. So you were right to do what you did.
Thank you. Yeah. Even Chad was like, yeah, you should scratch. And I'm like, who are you? Like, what? You?
Yeah.
You
for a horse husband to say, spend the money and then not do anything. That's pretty good.
Exactly. So it was definitely. And then I couldn't get my dang truck and trailer out because there's a million people with these ridiculously huge things. And I had to sit there all day. I was like, Groot, I guess I'll come back and get you later. And so I kept having to go back and see if people had moved their trucks and I couldn't get out. And I'm like, what is that? And so I have to watch it all day, all these other horses competing, because I keep trying to go get my dang horse. Get me out of here and just take me home and like let me get away from this whole thing. Anyway, it was not my favorite weekend.
Parking at a horse show is always an adventure, too, because you do try and find the parking spot that nobody's going to park you in, and then you get parked in.
I parked way far out and I was like, okay, I'll be fine up here. And it turns out way far out, people just park really close and you can't get through. So that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I mentioned ride times real quick. I wanted to tell you that on Wednesday, next Wednesday, is my freestyle at 11:30 a.m. And my eventing is going to be Thursday at 9:18 is dressage, 10:48 I believe is show jumping, and 12:15 is cross country. Those could be reversed, but I don't think so.
All right, cool. And then because your freestyle is going to be so fantastic, you'll be in the finals on Saturday.
Uh-huh, yeah, sure. You notice I didn't tell you that schedule.
All right, let's go to our first listener that we're going to talk to in this week of the listener. And this is Elena, and she is from Wisconsin. Hi, Elena. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Is that...
although I am in Seattle.
Oh, you're in Seattle? I thought you lived in Wisconsin.
I did, but I recently moved.
Ah,
so girl, unfortunately, that's put me in a...
You're up early.
Unfortunately, it's put me in a horseless... Yeah, it's put me in a horseless situation, though, which is unfortunate. But nonetheless, I'm having fun out here, and I'm more than happy to rep Wisconsin.
Did you did you move there for work?
School, actually. I decided I loved architecture so much, and I'm getting my master's, so hopefully I can become a licensed professional. So, yeah.
So you're an architect, huh?
Architectural professional, or architectural professional is kind of the more official term. Once you have your hours in and you take all the big fancy tests, then you can call yourself an architect. So it's just one of those things I'm reserving for later once everything is finished and done and complete.
She's like the version of a bug jockey, Glenn. She's not an actual jockey yet.
No,
she's still in training.
Now I understand.
She's still a bug.
Now I understand.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I think that
I
don't know that we've ever had a listener architect on the show before. This might be a first, actually.
She's not an architect, Glenn.
Yeah,
she's architect
an to be. An architect
she's a
to
bug.
Be.
She's a bug.
So tell us, you don't have a horse now, but you must have in the past. You wouldn't be listening to the show.
Yes, I think it was right about when I started riding, and I had just started leasing my first horse, and I had gotten my first iPod for my for Christmas, I believe. And my mom and I, we sat down and tried to figure out, okay, like what kind of music, what kind of podcasts are there? And we ended up finding the Horse Radio Network. So like literally since middle school, I've been listening to this, and it's just been fun to see the entire thing
oh my God.
Grow and evolve.
You must have started when we started, because iPods were a thing 10 years ago.
I think you... Yeah, no, it's been a while, but I think you guys were kind of like still, because it was Stable Scoop with Helena B.
Yep.
Is what I remember. So I don't quite have a year to call out, but yeah, my first horse that I leased, she was a Morab, and Glenn, you'll find this actually pretty cool. We did driving in 4-H together.
With a Morab? Really?
Yeah, with a Morgan era, but that's what the Morab is a cross between.
Yep.
And they're actually really, really awesome horses. I like them a lot.
Well, they would be a fun driving horse because you got the fun of the Arab and the head of the Morgan.
Oh my God, she was real fun to drive. You definitely had that beauty and finesse with the power of the Morgan. She was something else. And I actually, I was at the Midwest Horse Fair and I got to see her again, albeit she's like 20 years old now. But that was really, really awesome to see my 4-H project horse that I'd been with. And she had essentially taught me to ride and everything. But
now, Jamie, I want to get back to something. She's been listening to us since middle school.
She's now
in her master's. We've been doing this a long time.
I'm not going to lie. That stung a little bit.
Yeah, it did get me too.
Oh my God. I've been listening to you since I was a kid. Oh, shut up. You
Why
are
quit
a kid.
When you've got a good thing going? I mean,
right? Boy, that really hit me. I don't know. I was wondering how it hit you, but it was like, holy cow.
Yeah, I know. It's brutal.
But, as soon as she said iPod, okay. I went, oh.
And
I mean,
it's been
a salvation being a horseless horsewoman now, and like having to go cold turkey from like doing hunter jumpers and IHSA while I was in college, and suddenly having to like cut it all out of my life now that I'm tromping around this big city. So thank you guys.
You're welcome.
Aww, that's so sweet.
They do have horses out there in Washington, you know.
I'm Seattle.
What? Really?
Not in Seattle. Yeah, I mean outside. Yeah, you'd have to probably have to travel a bit.
Unfortunately, yeah, traffic is pretty prohibitive. So there's that.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, you'll get back. Masters, you know, that only takes a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And think about it. When you're a full-blown architect, you're going to be able to afford, like, the nicest horse. It's going to be amazing.
Well, I hope so. Although I'll probably want to, like, dip into more of the barn to kind of, like, get excited about it, because that's got to provide the big barn for my horse. That's kind of what I
got to tell you, one thing I've never talked about on this show is that in high school, that's what I wanted to be. That's what I took all my classes in, was architecture.
Oh, really?
Yeah
no, that's kind of what got me started down the road, was high school architecture classes and kind of, like, construction. So, yeah.
You know why I failed? I sucked at math. And I discovered that you really have to be pretty good at math to do architecture. That whole, you know, making sure everything matches in the corners thing is important.
Well, we've got computers to do
that.
Yeah,
nowadays. You didn't when I was in school.
No, I wouldn't say I'm particularly good at math. It's just, it takes a lot of, like, I mean, this is one thing that horses taught me, is just kind of putting your nose to the grindstone and realize, okay, so this doesn't work, but you just got to keep trying, and you just got to, it's that kind of resiliency that I learned as a part of my equine education, I guess, that kind of developed that, because, I mean, I hated math in high school, absolutely hated it. So you're not the only one, Glenn.
Well, Lane, I got to ask you a couple more things. One thing is about the picture. Do you see the picture in the show notes, Jamie? So it's about the picture of you dressed as a spaceman, or woman in this case. Were you at a Comic-Con or something? I stole pictures off your...
You're like a blue...
Oh, okay, I know. Oh, a blue... Oh, okay. I'm also quite a bit of a nerd. Like, when I say quite a bit, there's like an asterisk that's like... You know, I have, there's like the crazy horse girl. There's definitely like the, like, I'm a pretty huge nerd. So I help run a convention every year. And so one of my friends approached me because I kind of run the costume contest part of that convention. And he approached me wanting to do, so there's a sci-fi film called Pacific Rim,
yeah.
And he wanted to build a costume of the giant robot and everything. However, they're called Jaegers, and he was like,
girl,
I need
she is a nerd.
Nerd out. Like, you're trying to overcome.
She is a nerd.
You're a Jaeger in Pacific Rim, and you're fighting the giant robot, and you host a convention, and you just, like, eat it up, girl. Swallow that pill. You just take it. You are.
She is
that's
a
awesome.
Nerd. Hey, I dressed as a king for 10 years, so I'm there with you. I got it. All right. We're going to let you go with one
so,
more
yeah,
question.
I did that, but.
One more question. Auditors. Why do you like being one?
Honestly, after having listened to this for so long, I mean, to be able to have access to a community that's not necessarily like judging and like doing this and doing, it's more, I don't know, it's like wholesome, because everybody's just like, hey, I've just got this question, and everybody's super nice, and it's just a way for me to stay in touch with the equine community and just kind of staying kind of like an active member and supporting what I've loved for like my entire adult life, my entire like teenage
since I was a kid. Just say it. Say it.
Since I was a kid, Jamie.
I'm impressed that you sat down with your mother and your mother helped you figure out how to get the show onto an iPod, which, by the way, when we started, was not easy.
I think my mom was more excited. I think my mom was more excited. And I was just like, what is this little thing that supposedly plays music? Because at that point, it was like, I don't know. I was still shoving CDs in my thing. I didn't quite understand. I was like, what is this?
Well, I mean,
it's the one reverse situation where, like, your mother knows more about technology than you do.
Glenn, yeah. Just so you know, her mom's 112.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Elena. We appreciate you being
an
auditor.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening for so darn long. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right. Bye, Elena. Oh, my God. As soon as she said that, I just like went, oh my God, she's been listening since junior high school and she's a master's.
All I can think of what happened on Retired Racehorse Radio, I think it comes out today, is when Joy said something about the year she was born. And I was like, what?
I know.
You were born in the 90s?
She was born like I had been out of work in the work world for 11 years.
It was very shocking to me. I was like, oh my God, you're a child.
Yeah, she's a puppy too. All right, let's listen to Omega Alpha and then we'll come back with another listener. Let's see what kind of master's program this next listener's in. Oh, hold on 1 second. There we go.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created 3 different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters, Chill Ultra Paste, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium, and Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, now, Jamie, we're heading to a place where you used to live, I think, in Ohio, and we're going to talk to Maggie, who is in Ohio. Hi, Maggie.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. Did I see here, is it correct, you're president of the American Side Saddle Association?
Yes, I am.
Did you hear about us first through our listener, Samantha, in Kentucky?
I did.
I thought so.
I did.
I thought so. So how many years ago did you start listening?
Been about a year.
About a year. Well, you're a baby. What a contrast from the last listener who started with us 10 years ago. And then you're here a year. Were we the first podcast you ever listened to, or had you listened to podcasts before that?
Yes, I'm old. So the whole podcast, what is that? Yeah.
So we still get the question. Remember, Jamie, when we first started, we got the question all the time. Is what station are you on? How do I find you on the radio? We got that question all the time. I have to answer that less now. But well, we're glad you're listening and that you're also an auditor. Tell us, president of the American Side Saddle Association, how many side saddle riders are there in the world or in the United States?
Oh, goodness. Well, just in our club, ASA, we have about 300.
Okay.
But of course, there's many more ladies that aren't members of our group.
Right.
And there's another national organization, the International Side Saddle Organization in the U.S. I'm not sure what their membership levels are.
And you obviously didn't start riding side saddle. What'd you start as?
A kid.
Were you showing?
I have been riding... No, I have been riding side saddle since I was about 15 or 16.
Really?
So she has been riding.
Before that I was a farm kid. We didn't own our own trailer. I didn't show my horse in 4-H because we had no way to get her to the fair. So, yeah, I was just a kid riding trails and mostly bareback because I couldn't lift the saddle by myself.
Were you trail riding bareback side on the side?
Yes.
No, I got my first side saddle when I was about 16. I had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and it was uncomfortable for me to ride astride. But being a kid, I did anyway because, you know, that's how you had to ride.
Right.
And my mother read an article, I think, in the Western Horseman, written by the great Linda Bowlby, about how side saddle was being used for people with disabilities.
Wow.
And found an old side saddle at a local swap meet and bought it for $50. And we had no idea what we had. There was no internet back then, of course. This was in the 80s, 1983. So we did the best we could. That saddle was held on my old Tennessee Walker mare with my dad's belt. And I rode it.
Amen, sister. Right on. And you just figured out how to do it, huh?
Yep. We bought books. Of course, back then, the only books about riding side saddle were written in England in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So,
and all those ladies were going fox hunting. That's what they were doing in those books.
Yeah. And, and it was all hunt seat, you know. And so my first time showing my horse in 4-H with my side saddle, I was perfectly turned out in my 1903 Sears and Roebuck side saddle. And my perfect best attempt at redneck hunt attire as you could get, racking my mare around the arena on my Tennessee walking horse. So
this
yeah,
is awesome.
That's a lot
we've learned a lot
there.
Since then.
You know, I used to, you live in Bainbridge, Ohio. Did I see that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's
not the Bainbridge that's near Cleveland.
No. Oh, it's not. Okay.
No, that's Bainbridge Township. We are the incorporated village of Bainbridge in Southern Ohio. We're
Southern
closer
Ohio.
To Chillicothe.
Okay. Yeah. I feel so much better for you. Because Bainbridge Township, that whole area sucks. The amount of lake effect snow that we would get in Bainbridge Township would like just dump on us like crazy. I lived right up there. Oh,
no,
awful.
Okay. We don't get that down here. Yeah, we're so far south. We're more of a suburb of Kentucky.
Oh, my God. You're so lucky. You made it, girl. I was going to say, like, I think you should come south. But I'm glad you're OK. Like, I was worried about you.
Yeah, we're I'm 2 hours from Lexington.
I'm
can
jealous.
Make well without a horse without a horse trailer, I can make Lexington in 2 hours.
Okay, I'm
I
jealous,
can be
though.
In the horse park, pulling into a parking spot 2 hours.
Cool. Well,
of course, you don't
want to
be in the
awesome.
Truck with me.
So, Maggie, people learn more about side saddle stuff?
Oh, where to learn more?
Yeah.
Well, you can join the American Side Saddle Association, of course. We do clinics all over the country. If we're not teaching a clinic anywhere near you, contact us, and one of us will come and teach. All we need, I used to do all the organizing myself until the summer that I did 10 clinics in 1 year, and I had completely lost track of who had registered, how many people I had coming, where am I going this weekend? Is insurance covered? You know, who's bringing lunch? That sort of thing. We will come and teach a clinic pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Somebody will come, usually me, because I love to travel. We need a covered arena at least, or an indoor, because if I'm traveling, you know, if I'm driving 10 hours to get to you with a truckload of side saddles, we're not going to get rained out. So at least a covered arena.
My God.
$100 for insurance. We have our own insurance policy, so it's $100 for insurance for the weekend. And that's a one-day clinic, two-day clinic, doesn't matter. You know, $100 per incident. And someone to bring lunch.
Fantastic.
That's all we require. I do all the advertising. So whoever is organizing the clinic will handle registration and everything. You can charge whatever you want, as long as my or whoever is teaching travel expenses are paid. So you can do it as a fundraiser for your group, however you want to do it.
Maggie, what's the website?
AmericanSideSaddleAssociation.org.
.org. Maggie, thank you so much for coming on.
Find us on Facebook.
Yeah, you can find everybody on Facebook now. American Side Saddle Association.
Yeah.
Maggie, thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad you're not in Bainbridge North because, like, I would come and get you.
Thanks, Maggie. And thanks for
thank you for having me.
Bye.
Well, I think now before we get to our next one, why don't we take a little break for a song? And then we're going to have some question first world problems coming up later. We get to talk to a podcasting friend of mine later. We have a whole bunch more coming up for you. But this Friday.
What song? What Jared song did you go with?
I went with one we're not going to hear on Friday, but that he explains the reason for it on Friday. And that is the title song of his album is Branch of the Tree. So on Friday, you'll find out why this song exists and why it's the name of the album that he just put out.
Zion was a chosen one. A whole generation sang one song. Then he crossed the plains into the wild, passed that legacy on to a child. But the boy was a reckless one. Said, I'm not hurting anyone. Handed down to me his loaded gun and that spirit of rebellion. Justice is coming and it won't be watered down. Don't underestimate flame thrown to the ground. Justice is coming, one thing haunting me. You, my son, Nara, branch of the tree. Don't repeat the past and cast the blame on he from whence your last name came. Admit the itch deep in your blood. I know all your and I've seen in that devil's bag of tricks, both left and right wing politics. When you ride the fence, you eventually fall. Just one name can save your soul. Justice is coming and it won't be watered down. Don't underestimate flame thrown to the ground. Justice is coming, one thing haunting me. You, my son, Nara, branch of the tree. Hey, 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 justice is coming. Justice is coming. Justice is coming. Justice is coming. Justice is coming and it won't be watered down. Don't underestimate flame thrown to the ground. Justice is coming. Sonora, you my Sonora,
branch of the tree.
Woo! Man.
But I wasn't sure where that was for him.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where I was going at the beginning, but then, man, I finished really strong.
That's the first time both of us have heard that song. That's really good.
Yeah, and I know. I missed my potty break because I wanted to listen.
Which is the reason we do songs, by the way, everybody. So yeah. I was thinking about, I can't get over Elena, by the way. I'm still stuck on that. So,
oh my God, you're old. Get over it.
I know. Did you think, though, that when we started, when she first started listening, when she was a junior or junior high school, that we'd still be here when she's a master in a master's program?
I told you my husband's reaction to,
yeah, that we,
babe,
didn't think
I got
we'd
a
be
job.
Around 2 weeks.
I got a job. I got a job with the Horse Radio Network. I'm doing a live radio show about horses, and we're going to talk about just horses. And he was like, cool. Like, what are you going to talk about after 2 weeks? Uh-huh. Suck it. I knew I was right.
So Jennifer is going to get our final listener on here. In the meantime, you roll out when for Kentucky. By the way, next week, everybody, we will be coming to you from Kentucky. We'll be there next week. We will not have live shows next week because we're going to have to record them at odd times because Jamie like has to show. So there's that. But you're rolling out on Sunday?
I'm leaving Sunday the 29th, and I am stopping kind of west of Nashville. These are all my tentative plans, of course, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I hate saying I'm definitely doing something because then like something happens. So my plans are to leave on the 29th and arrive in Nashville on that evening, stay in Nashville at a horse hotel, and then continue the other 4 hours and arrive at the horse park. You can't get to the horse park before Monday at noon. So I should be hopefully right on time to arrive and be able to get a school in and be able to take them around, and people will be pulling in, and they've got that big vet exam you have to pass and make sure your horse is not too skinny.
Yeah, that's new actually this year. You have to be vetted out right when you get there, right?
Yes. I think they basically give you time to like stretch and pee and then get your horse and go up there. You have to go. But it's not that stressful. They're just going to basically make sure the horses are sound at the walk and not super skinny. You know, like I have to be a body score of 4 at least. And that's challenging with horses off the track, especially when they're still very young and growing. It's something I've battled with Baby Groot the whole time I've had him. Just get fatter. Get fatter. They just won't get fatter. So,
and listeners, I know there's several listeners and auditors going to watch and volunteer and do different things. And we have several listeners that are also competing. We haven't decided on a meetup yet, but we really need to do that. So
I'm in barn 2.
You're in barn 2. Do you know who your barn mate is?
Yeah, I'm stabling. I was supposed to be Kayla, our listener, but she ended up having a scratch. And then Ellen Doty Hume is on the other side of me, which is pretty awesome. She's ridden in like Rolex like 5 times, 7 times.
Yeah, she's
I think.
A big eventer.
So,
yeah.
She's a big eventer. So she and I are sharing a tax doll. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So maybe we just meet at the barn at some point.
Yeah, and Friday probably be the best day. Isn't that kind of an off day on Friday?
Yeah, so on Tuesday is just kind of schooling all day, and then Wednesday is the freestyle, so we can meet Wednesday night. Thursday, for me, is tough. That's the eventing day, and it's all day.
And then Friday's kind of a day off. Will you be heading back Friday if you're not in the freestyle? Or
I thought I had to entertain you.
Well, you have to be around for the morning till we get the show done anyway.
Yeah, so I think Abby's flying in, my dear friend, sweet Abby. She's going to be flying in on Friday, so she wanted to hang out and see some seminars Friday, and we'll see the finale Saturday, and then leave the 29th.
All right, sounds good.
I'll be sitting in the crowd cheering everybody on the makeover finale, so that'll be okay.
Well, we're going back to the West Coast with our next listener here on the Week of the Listener on the Horse Radio Network to somebody we've met before, right, Jamie?
Absolutely. She is a dressage rider that lives in California. And these are things I know from memory. This is frightening. I stalk you, Kim. Let's welcome Kim Watts to the show. Kim has actually been really beneficial, Glenn, because when I lived in Arizona, there was a horse for sale in California, and she went and looked at it for me. So Kim and I are friends at this point. So welcome to the show, Kim.
Thank you. Good morning.
Oh my gosh.
How's it going over there?
How's your new big pretty horse?
Oh, he is wonderful. I am so in love and just, oh my God, just so thankful I got this horse. He's fabulous.
Tell everybody about him.
I can't say enough about him. Oh, Guinness, he is an 8-year-old Dutch warm blood that Willie Arts from DG Bar found for me. And Guinness is by Megro, if that sounds familiar.
That's Villegro's daddy. Has
great. Yes, it is. I have to say he's not that fancy, but he's super sweet and he's good and he's got a lot in there. And
wait a minute.
We're getting ready in October.
If I move that forward, that means that Kim is the next Charlotte Desjardins? Is that what I'm
That's pretty much what I'm getting.
Yeah. That's what I got too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just go with it. I wouldn't put a lot of money on it, but you just go with it. I like it. So, but yeah, he's fabulous. And yeah, I took him to a few shows just to see what he'd be like. And he exceeded my expectations. So I'm very happy with this horse.
That's great. I'm so excited. Well, Glenn's got some podcast questions for you, but make sure you hold the phone out a little bit more. And because sometimes you're kind of coming across muffled. There, that's better.
So, Kim, how did you hear about us in the first place, Horse Radio Network? I assume Dressage Show was your first, maybe?
Dressage Show was my first. My husband and I were driving back from Vegas, and he was listening to Poker and Car podcast. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so dull. And I sat there on my phone Googling Horse Podcast Dressage and came up with the Dressage Show. Fell in love with it, and once a week was not enough. Well, there's got to be more horse podcasts out there. And then came across with Horses in the Morning. And I've heard you say in the past, Glenn, that give the show a few times before you make a decision. And the first couple times I heard it, I kept thinking, what in the heck is going on here? But by the end of the first week, I was totally hooked and have been solidly devoted ever since and to many of the other shows as well.
Okay, Kim, we haven't said that in a long time, and it's a good point because we've had over 700 people download the Horse Radio Network app in the last 3 months. So if you're brand new, you got to give us a couple days. What grows on you after time? That's kind of what we are.
A rash. We're like a wet bathing suit that you left the pool and you sat down in the car and you drove home and then
you went, ugh, this itches.
After a couple of days, you're like, man, something's bothering me. But that's us. We will we'll wear on you, make you uncomfortable, and then you'll love us.
And then it will suck you into Jamie's drama and you'll never leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. I was thinking it was more like the first time you had a beer and you're like, oh, who in the hell's Gregory? Who really drinks this stuff? And then, you know, and now it's like, oh man, pass me a beer.
Oh my God, that's the greatest analogy ever.
I love that analogy, actually, because I still hate beer.
First time you taste beer, it's really gross, and now you can't get enough of it.
Kim, I'm glad you're honest about that because I think that's true of a lot of podcasts, though. I know I've started some and I go, I can't even get through the first 10 minutes. And then I give them a little time and, you know, I force myself to do the whole first episode. And then it's kind of like, well, at the end, it got better. So I think part of it, too, is we've been doing this for 2,300 episodes. So we kind of have things that we talk about that for new people probably don't make any sense. We try and be good about that and always explain what it is we're talking about, especially when it comes to Jamie's multitude of horses over the years. But it's hard for us sometimes because we know what we know and we forget what people don't know.
We need to be better about, you know, when you start watching a television show and if you come in the middle, I love the shows that you don't have to go back and start at the beginning because they're just individual episodes like the X-Files is like that. And so I think we need to be better about being that kind of show, like just a show that you can watch in the middle of it and you don't have to start over. But we welcome you to start over because there's all sorts of fun BS that you've missed.
Well, the other solution is really obvious. If people like start listening to the show and they really just think, what is she talking about? Davy Groot? What? This horse? That horse? What? What? If they become auditors, they just have to post the question, and there's enough people with it that know your life history for both of you that they'll be more than happy to fill them in.
There you go. Double plug for being an auditor.
That's right. You know, get all the inside scoop and you know, become a stalker of everybody else as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, it sure was fun seeing you again in Kentucky, and thanks again for helping out Jen when she was horse shopping. That's another... another story. It's always fun when you go horse shopping with me on the radio because all sorts of ridiculous things happen. And, you know.
Well, and Kim, good luck with the new guy whose name happens to be a beer.
Thank you.
So,
yes, Guinness. His name is Guinness. And he came with that. He's registered as that. Yes.
Guinness, I love that.
I love the beer, so can't lose.
And we'll see you, Glenn, on Cruise. My husband and I are going.
Oh, yes, you are. I'm so looking forward to it. Yeah. It's going to be so much fun. We got some people that have been on before and some new people. If you want to learn about being on the cruise, you still have time till the end of November to book. And it's horseloverscruise.com. Although I hear there's very few cabins left. But horseloverscruise.com. We'll look forward to seeing you there, Kim. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kim. Bye-bye.
Speaking of which, for all of you, speaking of have you need to know before you go in rule, we went and saw Downton Abbey, the movie, on Friday night, on opening night, with a packed theater. Downton Abbey did more than Rambo and all the other movies this weekend.
Yeah, it was number one over the weekend.
Yeah.
And the beating out Rambo was not that surprising.
No, apparently Rambo is pretty bad this time. But yeah, so we went in and it was absolutely packed, which we thought it would be here in Ocala. You know, it was old people. And there were a couple young people, but it was mostly older than us. And I would say that you could see that movie without knowing, but you wouldn't get the nuances. Kind of like the show. That's what reminded me of to talk about it. You wouldn't get the nuances because if you watch five seasons of a TV show and then go watch a movie, you're going to get the nuances. Whereas you just go in, it's going to be, it's an okay movie.
So whereas, I shouldn't go see it without seeing the whole first five seasons.
You just at least had to see some of it to get who the characters were and to get some of the inside stuff. It was very well done. For the people who are Downton Abbey fans and saw everything, they will absolutely love it. They will love it. Not so many horses in this one. Less horses because we're further along in time. Cars are a thing. But yeah, the acting was great. The storylines were great.
I don't know that they're moving along in time. Stop telling me things.
There's no surprise. They've talked about that in every trailer they've done. So there's no surprise there. But yes, if you like Downton Abbey, you will love the movie. And I see with the money this is going to make worldwide, there will be another movie.
Right? No kidding. And I saw that you can now go stay at Highclere Castle.
That's what I was going to talk about. Please, I know you all... No, we love Downton Abbey, but if I get that one more time, I'm going to scream.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think everybody in the world has shared that they're going to do, but it's one night for one couple. So they're not opening up Highclere Castle for people to rent on Airbnb, period, which is what everybody's thinking.
I beg to differ.
Oh, yeah?
I beg to differ.
It's not just one night?
I actually went to Airbnb.
Yeah?
At $152 per night. I think what they're doing, it's one night, but it's several rooms. In other words, they're renting out a bunch of rooms for one night, kind of like a party thing.
But it's only one night.
I think is how it's going to pan out. Yes, it's in November sometime, so I don't know that we'll have time to book a flight. We may have to get a plane.
But do you know how much publicity they've gotten off of doing that?
Glenn, as many times as it's been shared with you, you should have had all the details correct.
One night. You know. I mean, it's not like they're doing it forever and you could stay there anytime you go. You can't. It
That's
was a publicity stunt that worked very well. I got to give them credit because I've seen it 1,000 times. So it did work. And it would be a cool place to stay. Although we were there, we saw it. I'm good now. I don't necessarily have to stay there. I'm good.
But you would like to.
But it would be nice to eat dinner in that dining room, that's for sure. But then you'd have to get dressed. I'd have to, buy something formal looking.
Look, I've never seen an episode of it, so.
I'm not sure. We loved it. You would hate it. So that's the general rule.
See,
as anything.
Pride and Prejudice is one of my favorite things. And Sense and Sensibility. I love period timepieces, but I watched the first two episodes. Maybe, no, that's a lie. I watched the first episode 3 times, and I fell asleep every single time in it. So.
I think you're watching at the wrong time of day, probably. It's like our show. You need to give it 2 or 3 episodes to get into the characters.
Okay,
It's kind of like our show.
That seems fair.
God, I can't believe the first guest we had, we didn't set these up, has been listening since we started. The second one found us just a year ago. And the third one said, you know what? You guys sucked for the first couple.
But I was bored. I had nothing else to do. So I stuck around and now I like you.
We're going to switch gears a little bit. Let me call the next guest on Skype. We're going to add him into the conversation. And this is a podcasting friend of mine. We've actually had him on the show before. I'm not sure if Jamie was on that time or not. but one of the things we're going to do, and again on Wednesday, is we are going to have other podcasts, because it is a week, it's International Podcast Day coming up, and we do like to highlight other podcasts as well. Well, coming up is a friend of mine out of Florida here by the name of Scott Johnson, who does a cool podcast, and he wants your help. So that's why we're going to get him on now. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
You're on with Jamie and I, and we are on live, so thanks for joining us.
Hello.
I'm happy to be here.
It's always nice to have a podcaster on. Your sound's a little better than the last guest's phone. So that's nice.
Sounds great.
Scott does a couple of shows. First of all, tell everybody about your computer show for the nerds out there.
Well, I've been doing a computer business from here in my home office in Safety Harbor, Florida, for about the past 20 years, and I have a podcast called The Computer Tutor, and I just do some kind of computer tip or trick or security alert or something like that every couple of weeks, and that's mainly, you know, for not so much computer people, but regular everyday users.
Yeah,
so,
I
we do everything in plain English.
I listen to it and I understand it. So it's got to be for regular people.
That's my criteria. I got to make it simple enough for Glenn.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. By the way, I need a cord for an IBM monitor or a Dell monitor. I need to talk to you about that.
We'll talk.
Now, there's the other show that you do that I've been addicted to since day one, and I can get through most episodes. And unlike our show, Jamie, where you have to listen to several of them to kind of get the hang of it, that's not the way with this show. It's called What Was That Like? And I know that we've had you on before, but remind people who haven't heard what the show's about.
Well, the basic premise of this show is that each episode, I talk with some regular person who has been through some type of extremely unusual situation. And we cover a huge variety of situations. Yeah.
We had somebody on who, maybe it was you, who had been bitten by a snake.
I was the one that was on the show and talked about that. That was my guest had been bitten by a rattlesnake. And they were just out working in the yard. And 30 minutes later, he's literally saying goodbye to his family, thinking he wasn't going to survive.
There was the one that stuck with me is there was a lady who is an expert parachuter and her chute didn't do so well. And that one stuck with me. She lived through it, but one just stuck with me.
Me as well. But I think part of the reason for that was that her teenage daughter was there with her at the landing zone that day. And she saw her mom hit the ground. And and the funny thing is, her mom, Sue, her primary concern was for her daughter to not see her groaning in pain. And rather than, you know, am I going to be paralyzed for the rest of my life? That was her concern. Don't let my daughter see me scream. Let me know when she's getting close and I'll stop moaning. she survived and has since gone on to complete a lot of other amazing things.
And then, I mean, these shows, Jamie, go from everything from that to the guy who ate his own foot, which I did not get through that one. I just couldn't do it. To people who've been held hostage for years. I mean, he's had, I don't know where you find, to people involved in mass shootings. I mean, it's just been a wide variety of stuff. And it's called What Was That Like? If you look at any podcast player, I'm telling you, this one, and you do such a good job hosting this. You can tell you've done your research, you've talked to the people, and then you get people on around the people to talk about what their experience was. So it's very well done. I know this one takes some work.
It does. It takes some work, but boy, I love it. And really, it was created out of my own curiosity. This is the kind of story that I wanted to hear, and I couldn't find any other podcast doing stuff like this. So I figured, okay, I'll make it myself.
Now we need your help, our listeners' help out there, because you want to get a horse story, but it can't be any just my horse fell on me story. This has to be we fell down a canyon together and then we hiked out, or, you know, my horse drug me back, or some kind of, it has to be a little tiny bit bizarre. Am I getting that right?
Or a lot bizarre.
That's a lot bizarre is good. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's been a lot of bizarre ones. So we need your help. If you have one of those kind of stories, what exactly are you looking for?
Well, it has to be something that, well, you know what? The best way to is for people to look at my past episode titles and see if their story would kind of fit in with how kind of crazy those stories are. And I was trying to think of, you know, what would be a bizarre horse story? And maybe it's, you know, maybe your horse saved your life in some way. Maybe your son.
More like they try to kill you.
That happens more than saving. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that means it's even more unusual.
In the horse world, that's normal.
maybe your son Timmy was out riding the horse one day, and somehow he fell off the horse and fell into a well, and the horse came back and got grown ups. And I mean, that sounds more like a Lassie story, really. But something like that where. I want people to look at the title of it and say, oh, wow, I've got to hear that story.
Ugh. I feel like I should have plenty of topics for you, but they're all escaping me right now. But yeah, I think I've talked about them for 10 years on this show, Glenn.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm going to get some of the titles are Kevin Saved a Life While Golfing. Weston Survived a Boat Propeller.
Oh my God.
Shiny ate his own foot. Listen. That's the one I couldn't do. Shiny ate his own foot. Luke survived a fatal crash. Casey married a wrong number. That was a happy story though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I put a happy story in. There's some good ones in there.
Oh, Marina was stalked was skulked. That one was like
that's one of my most popular episodes so far.
Is it really? Yeah, you gotta be ready to listen to that one.
Mm-hmm. And that's it was the first time she had actually told that story verbally since it had happened. So, and you can hear the emotion in her voice when she was doing that one.
But that's the thing I think about podcasts. Let's talk podcasting a little bit here. We've been doing this for a long time, Jamie and I. We discovered earlier in the show, Scott, our first guest was a listener who started in junior high school and has middle school and has been and is now in her master's program. She's been listening to our show that long. So let's talk podcasting a little. One of the things that Dave Jackson, who does a school of podcasting, always says, if your podcast can elicit some kind of emotion, whether it's fear or whether it's laughter or whether it's, you know, crying your eyes out or sheer terror, that's a good podcast. And that's one of the things podcasting does that radio couldn't do.
Yes, I agree. And a lot of that is because of radio's time constraints. You know, you've got a certain schedule you got to keep to. But, you know, on my show, I tell people, take as long as you want because people love the details. And that's what they do. And and those shows that elicit emotion, whether you're crying happy tears or sad tears or laughing, those are the episodes that you remember.
Add, in your case, cringing. We're going to add cringing.
Okay. All right. Well, you remember that too then.
Yeah, keep that on your list because I spend a lot of time cringing. Your show is one of those that when you get done, you go, I don't know why I listened to this show, but then I go back and listen next week. You know?
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
No, he's not. Glenn, you're a jerk. This show is great.
No, he knows. I've been his biggest fan, actually, since the show started. I've been listening. So what do you think? Where do you see podcasting going? We'll make that the last question for you. Where do you see it going in the future?
I think eventually people will be like my habits, where I haven't listened to commercial radio in the car literally for years because there's absolutely nothing on there that is of any interest to me. I'm always listening to podcasts, whether it's in the car or if I'm out riding my bike or whatever. There's just so much more to offer. And, you know, it's not that you can say, hey, listen to podcasts because there's no commercials, because obviously there are commercials. But you know what? On some of my favorite shows, you're able to fast forward through the commercials, but some of them I don't because it's stuff that is specifically of interest to me. And I think that's it just tailors so much to what people are looking for as opposed to the morning zoo goofballs that nobody
cares
about.
It. We're kind of that way.
Careful.
Yeah.
I did that for 10 years.
Yeah. You notice you're not doing it anymore.
But you're not doing it anymore, right?
That's true.
Hey, at some of those 10 years, you didn't have a great time with those guys.
I'd say the entire 10 years, I didn't have a good time doing that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think women, too, I think that's one big change we've seen. When you were doing radio in Atlanta there, Jamie, the woman was sort of the joke all the time, right? I mean, you were the girl who, they had a certain role in morning radio.
Yes. So the girls are always like the entertainment reporters and, you know, and I was the traffic reporter. But I mean, I didn't mean to be a joke. It just, that's how my life is. So, but there was an under girl was, you know, the news anchor and the news person is always very serious, but the rest of the girls are, yeah, we're just kind of a mess typically.
That's interesting. So you say that, you know, here in the Tampa Bay area, there's very popular talk radio station and it's always the same thing. There's two male hosts who usually agree on everything. And then there's the third female host who's the disagree and they, you know, they kind of team up on her a little bit and it's kind of the same thing.
That's,
you know,
been the morning zoo formula since I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's because it works.
But,
I don't know.
Well, they never let the women be the funny one. You know, that's kind of, mm-hmm. well, yeah, it just the way it is. I don't know. I mean, that's why I don't love that concept. I don't like girls sounding stupid. I don't like mm-hmm. men sounding like they're the coolest. They're just that amazing. And
see, we switched roles here, Scott. I'm the one that sounds stupid now. And she's the one that sounds amazing.
Yeah, right.
That's why the female listeners love your show.
That's right,
right
exactly.
But
that's
see,
why.
That's what I wanted this show to be, and what your show is honest. I just wanted it to be honest. I tell people all the time, they're like, well, you know, you've been doing podcasting for 10 years. What is your advice? Be yourself. You cannot pretend to be anybody else. And I think that is what you do. You let people be honest, number one, and you're honest yourself. So congratulations.
Absolutely. People love vulnerability, not just in the guest, but also in the host, you know, because they feel there's a more intimate connection there.
Mission accomplished, people. I almost cried earlier this show, so we're good.
You know, it's been interesting, too, in podcasting now. It's 40%. I just saw numbers. It's 40% women hosts. Now, on our network, it's been 99% women hosts since day one. But in podcasting in general, and also minorities, it really, truly, where minorities couldn't get radio gigs a lot, or there were just very few of them, now you're seeing minorities in podcasting. It is truly, we say this at all the conferences, it's giving everybody a voice. It really does. I mean, it's not just a saying. It really does.
Absolutely. Yep. That's one of the beautiful things of it.
Yep. Well, what was that like? It's whatwasthatlike.com. You can go check it out. And by the way, Scott, we don't encourage people to fast forward through our commercials. I just want to throw that out there.
Of course not.
No, just wanted to get that in.
I don't think anybody ever actually does that.
No, not right? in our show. No. They love our commercials. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. Take care. You want some listening that'll keep you at the edge of your seat, Jamie, on your drive?
Will it make me nauseous, though?
Like, well, some of them, depends on the episode.
How does somebody eat their own foot?
Got through that one. I didn't even get through
it. Was it just
one.
So gross? Like, because I couldn't watch the movie.
I never started it. I read the description and went, I just can't do this one.
I have more questions, though. I might have to
see. That's the thing. It's like his most listened to episodes was this guy who was held captive in the mountains of like Oregon someplace for 2 years. And it just when you came out of that, you had 1,000 questions and all the conversation on his Facebook group was all the questions I had. I went over his Facebook group to see if everybody had the same questions, but his show does that to you. It makes you think after. You know how a lot, like our show, people don't think about it much after, right? I mean, they just go away and say, well, that was fun.
I don't
either. So, you know, I get it. But his show, you're thinking about it for days. You're just, it's,
you know what?
Those.
I've got enough. I'm going to have to wait till the makeover's over. I can't take any more stress.
Oh, yeah. Listen on the way home. That'll be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. It's time.
First world problem is there was like 75 comments under this. So I've had to just pick and choose. Otherwise, Glenn will end the show while I'm still talking.
just play the music when I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. Remember, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. These are all submitted by our auditors. And if you want to learn how to be an auditor so you can submit these, go to horseradionetwork.com. How'd I do, Glenn? Is that good?
That was great. Yeah.
Okay. Sam says, I just bought like the cutest new riding sweaters, and they were like on an awesome sale, but it's 85 degrees and I can't wear them. Crank up your AC. Sit in the car. Elizabeth says, my horse's feet are so healthy and fast growing and rock hard that I have to like trim them once a week, and it's exhausting. Jennifer is here. Chantel says, oh my God. I'm adding some flair, by the way, because she says, right now my boobs are too big. I miss my 32As. This 36D stuff is the stuff of nightmares.
What the hell happened?
she had a baby.
I must agree
and disagree. I thought having big boobs for a little while was like so fun. I stared at my cleavage like all the time. I was like, I get it. I get why guys look at this. Like, this is awesome. The view of my cleavage, I was like, I could put my finger there and touch blood. Like, it was amazing. And now they're gone and they will deflate and they'll be sad and you'll be sad. So, but you know, I would tell Chad, I'm like, you can look at them, but you can't touch them. I'll kill you if you touch them. Matt says, last night.
That's like putting a chocolate cake in front of me.
Don't eat it. It's going to hurt. I was fascinated with him. He must have been dying. Finally, my wife has boobs. I can't touch him. That was TMI. I'm sorry, you guys. Sorry. Okay. Matt says, this is great.
What did we just say about being honest on the show?
We are very honest. If we don't talk about bras or cramps or something, which, by the way, why does that happen before every horse show? Seriously. Last night, this is from Matt. He says, Beth called me saying she feels like she has a fever. And I said, go take your temperature. And she said, I can't because I used the thermometer on the horse. I did this with my child. I was like, I can't take my child's temperature because I stuck this thermometer up my horse's butt. I get it, Beth. I get it. Kara says, oh my God, Kara is so sad. The equine hospital I work at doesn't have enough flavor options on its cappuccino machine. God, Kara, I would quit.
Cappuccino.
What a ridiculous
I only ever thing. Worked one place that actually had a Keurig machine. And then they got rid of it because it was too expensive.
I'm sorry. At some point, she's actually getting her cappuccino going, God, they just don't have enough flavors. Like, that happened.
Where's my pumpkin pie flavor?
There was nearly a revolt at Wegg this last time when the cappuccino machine ran out of everything but cocoa.
Yeah, they did. It wasn't good.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it was...
forget that. Waste of calories. Charlotte says a bunch of horse stuff I have wanted has been on sale recently, and I don't have a horse right now, so I can't buy a blanket because I don't know what size to buy.
Oh, I hate that.
I mean, Charlotte rides big horses, but she probably also can ride small horses. You never know. I think a good 78.
Charlotte
would be a good
likes, and Charlotte's a para rider, but she likes horses that are like 18 hands. I mean, I don't know how she gets on them.
I don't know. Desiree says, I am packing for a Jimmy Wofford clinic, and I will be on the road for 7 days camping with my lovely horse all alone. And I don't know if I should freeze a ribeye or a New York strip for one of my cookouts.
That's a long time to be going to a clinic, isn't it?
That sounds amazing. Jimmy Wofford is like the eventing Jesus. Caitlin says, I got such a great deal on a horse trailer, you guys. I couldn't pass it up. But I don't own a truck.
That is always the problem. You either have the truck or the trailer. It's always the problem.
She said, now, of course, I had to go truck shopping.
Yeah. And then you have a truck that's not big enough. You get a bigger trailer and then you need a bigger truck.
I know. And we got a bigger truck because we had a bigger trailer and we sold the bigger trailer. And Chad's like, should we get a smaller truck? And I was like, you are not selling my truck. I'm not going through that again.
You never go down in truck size. That's not
allowed. No, right? I'm here. And it's like your trailer was free, Caitlin, so you had to get it. Claire says, my horses are on a new pasture, and it's so big, and there's lots of grass, and it takes forever to go get them.
We had that problem the one farm we owned.
She also had another one I had to go with. She says, I broke, Jen, this is sad. I broke the zipper on my new tall boots. And so now I have to wear my other new pair of tall boots until I get the broken one. Yeah, that's awesome. Casey says, I got
to even find people to repair zippers on boots anymore.
I don't know. I don't know. That's pretty hard.
Tough in some areas, I think.
If it's on Amazon, send it back. Casey says, I got a great price on round bales and they're even being delivered, but now I have to clean up the pallets to stack them on. It's like everything isn't done for you, Casey. I feel so sorry for you. It sucks. You know what? I just did the same thing. Jacqueline says, Glenn, you're going to love this one. My new super supportive boyfriend, like, always comes to the barn with me and he feeds my horse treats and he gives her face rubs. But now she likes to see my boyfriend more than me.
That's true of every horse husband, because all we do is give them treats. We don't work them. Jennifer's horse loves me because I don't make him go do stuff.
She said that her horse even nickered for the boyfriend, and she never gets nickered at.
Well, stop riding him. You'll get nickered at.
Look like a giant carrot when you walk through the barn, exactly. And they'll nicker at you.
Exactly.
Lisa says, it is
Mrs. Pastures.
Time.
That does a trick every time. I still have found Mrs. Pastures to be the one that every horse likes.
That's true. They do like that one. Lisa says, it's springtime. She's in Australia, I think, or New Zealand. I think so. Which one is it? I can't remember. Somewhere on the other side of the planet. And she says, it's springtime and we have more daylight and the sun is shining finally. But my horses are shedding everywhere and I've just had to start wearing sunscreen. God, chapstick and shedding is my two biggest nemesises. Lindsay says, and this is my last one. She got it in at the last minute. I went to grab mane while I was cross-country schooling, and I jammed my fingers on my horse's neck instead. And it's all swollen. And it makes holding my iPhone too hard.
You know, there is a thing. You can only hold your phone in one hand. You do get, like, you're right-handed. I can't hold my phone in my left hand for some reason. I don't know. It is a thing.
I'm ambidextrous.
Are you?
With my phone, but I also have that little ring on the back that I stick my finger through all the time, so I don't drop it. I think I would drop it more.
You need that. You've broken more phones.
I'm right now staring at a phone that has scotch tape on the bottom of it because it's so cracked. So.
Hey, one thing we didn't talk about before we go, we didn't talk about last week or the week before when it came out. You saw that graph that came out, and it was from the AAEP, the American Association of Equine Practitioners, the vets group. And it said, you shouldn't worry about cleaning your horse's sheath. Remember that one? We were shared in it and came out a couple of weeks ago. And then they had, and basically it said, all of it was, all everything you've ever heard about sheath cleaning was all just crap.
Basically, hooey.
Yeah, exactly. And then they came out with an apology later. Because I think so many veterinarians contacted them about losing business that they...
I don't think it's about losing business. I think that was a very irresponsible
It was
article.
Irresponsible. I thought, what the heck? And it even said, one was, if my horse has a large bean down there... I just had to get sheath cleaning in the show today, so that's why I'm doing this. Has a very large bean down there. Should I worry about it? No, you don't have to worry about that. That's a misnomer. It doesn't affect blah, blah, blah.
Jacob the pony would all of a sudden you put the girth on and he would bite the children when they were girthing him up. And it happened every 6 months. And every 6 months I'd have to have the vet come out and remove a golf ball from his sheath. And he was tiny.
I guarantee you that everything's about money, Jamie. They got a lot of calls. I couldn't believe when I saw it.
I remember one of the vets I worked for, he would... Can you clean a sheath while you're here? And he'd be like, I can maybe clean the sheath. He hated it. I mean, you know, I don't think $35 is going to make or break them or whatever. And he would be cleaning a sheath. He's like, I can't believe I spent $150,000 in medical school sitting here washing a horse's wiener. Like, I don't think it was about the money. I think it was a very very irresponsible. Or like when you read the article on the air about you don't need to scrape your horse after you hose it, yet the article said at the bottom, like, basically you can only, like, we're only talking about if you continuously hose your horse down until, you know, their body temperature is cool. Like, it's a terrible article. Why they would post something like that is, like I said, it was very irresponsible. And you need to clean your horse's sheath if you have geldings. Stallions, they take care of those things themselves. But geldings, you know, we've changed them. We have genetically altered, we have altered a gelding in a way that he is unable to take care of some things that he needs to take care of, and you need to take care of it. So there you go. Mares also like to have their udders scratched. So,
and we're going to end the show on cheese and udders. But I want to remind everybody to go ahead and rate and review our show on your podcast player. Find it on there. We actually need some ratings because we've never asked for this in 10 years, so we're asking for it now. Or share the love on Facebook. The banners are available on the Horse Radio Network Facebook page, or Horses in the Morning. You'll see them there. You can just copy the banner and post them. I've seen a lot of people posting even during the show here. Or become an auditor for as little as $3 a month. That's less than one of those cappuccinos with flavor. You can
if it's free. It's your place of employment, Glenn.
So you can support us that way. Just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the auditor banner. And don't forget, Stacy Westfall, Collins. We should be answering questions about your horses or whatever. Just want to talk to Stacy. That's fine too. From 1 to 2 o'clock today on Monday. We appreciate you stopping by. We appreciate you listening to our show. And Elena, we appreciate you listening to our show since you were a mere baby.
My mom played it for me in the crib.
And I'm in my master's program now. You can say
neuter geld.